Hi everyone.
Hi everyone. Welcome to this talk on cluster API across hypervisors and with GitOps. So we've got a lot of the hype words in there. My name's Richard. I am a maintainer of various cluster API providers, more notably the AWS provider, the GCP provider, and the RKE2 provider.
Hey, I'm Alex. I work together with Richard at SUSE. I am a KP operator maintainer and also maintaining RKE2 provider. So today we are going to talk about cluster API. So today we are going to speak about cluster API, GitOps, and couple virtualization providers. So we'll briefly talk about what is KEPI. There was a previous talk about this, so but just in case you haven't been there, we will repeat something again. We will tell you and show how Proxmox will integrate with KEPI and how GitOps can be added to there, and then we'll replicate the same process with KubeVirt to show that KEPI can work with different infrastructure providers.
Cool. So all the demos, well, the two demos in this session are available via this repo. Feel free to take a picture of it. It's got the full script for it, so you can actually run this yourselves when you get home. I'll leave that out for a second. So who was in the last talk about the intro to Cluster API? Okay, cool. So you get the idea that you have a management cluster. Oh, yeah, sorry. You have an idea that you have a management cluster, and to that management cluster, you install Cluster API. Now, Cluster API is made up of the core controllers and a bunch of providers, and you can mix and match those providers to meet your needs. So if you're provisioning an AWS, you just install the AWS provider. Once you have that, you then declare the shape of your cluster. It's fully declarative using Kate's custom resources, and you apply that to the management cluster. Then Cluster API does its magic, and then it will provision the infrastructure and then bootstrap Kubernetes on top of that infrastructure.
So we're going to demonstrate how it works on Proxmox. So just a couple of words about this in case you don't know what it is. It's a virtualization platform. It's open source and includes anything you need for your virtualization purposes.
One thing to note is there are two providers for Proxmox if you go out there. So one requires you to have essentially a template pre-created within your environment. The other one will essentially just take a bare OS and it will install everything on top. We are using the one that requires a template.
So we made a diagram of how our cluster will look like in terms of cluster API. So everything you see there are Kubernetes resources, and all these resources, they represent the cluster, the Proxmox cluster we are going to use. So we'll have like the main entities, of course, our cluster. It will reference the infrastructure and also reference the control planes and the way how they should look like on the Proxmox environment. And then another resource is machine deployment, which is used for worker machines, and it also should reference a template of how it's going to look like on Proxmox and also some configuration for bootstrapping your Kubernetes over there.
Cool, so over to the demo. So we were going to do the demo live, but actually the network is not being nice to us, so luckily we did record it. So let me just set this up. That's not going full screen. Can I do full screen? Is that
visible?
F11. Yeah, that's what I tried. Yeah. Obviously didn't try hard enough. So hopefully you can see this all right. So this is just showing initially the repo that link showed before. In that repo, there are two branches, one for the KubeVirt side and one for the Proxmox side. So we're just going to use, obviously, the Proxmox branch here. And in that, you can see all of the artifacts that we would have used in a live demo, and if you're going to use this yourself. So moving on then to the prereqs. So as I mentioned, you are required, if you're going to do this yourself, to have a template in your Proxmox environment. So the way that you do this, if you want to do it in an automated way, so you can use the Kubernetes Image Builder project, and that has specific make targets that will provision and build that base image for you. And actually, what we should see in a minute is I should change to that window, and you can see it here. So the Virtual Machine 100 has been built using the Kubernetes Image Builder project. So that's got everything on there required to bootstrap Kubernetes. So it's got versions of KubeADM, et cetera, already baked into that VM. And it's been marked as a template within Proxmox. Yeah. Cool, so the basic flow is going to create the management cluster. We're going to then install GitOps agent on there, and then we're going to create a cluster. So I'm just going to fast forward here because this is just creating a kind. We're using kind for our management cluster. So if I just fast forward, just preloading a bunch of images onto there. The idea being it would have made the demo a lot quicker. So going to start K9s in another environment, another window, so you can see actually what is getting installed. So this is a plain vanilla Kubernetes cluster at this moment in time. One thing to note, if you're going through the instructions at a later time, we've made a slight config change to the cluster cuttle utility configuration so that we can install an IPAM provider. So probably in the last session you went through the different provider types. The main ones are the control plane provider, infrastructure provider, and bootstrap provider. But the newer provider types are the IPAM provider, which is especially useful for virtualized and bare metal type scenarios, and also the add-on provider type. So the way that you create a management cluster is with cluster cuttle. One thing to note here is we're specifying version numbers. That was purely just to pin the versions so that we could load the images, but you don't have to do that in your environment. And this will go away and install all of the providers and core CAPI into this, turning it into a CAPI management cluster. So if we fast forward a bit, you can see them installing now. And you can see the IPAM provider at the top there and the Proxmox provider. So the next step, so we've got a management cluster, so we want to use GitOps in this scenario. So you can use whatever GitOps agent you want. So we're going to be using Fleet, but you could equally apply these steps with slight modifications if you wanted to use Flux, Argo CD, whatever your choice is. But we're using Fleet, so we just need to quickly install Fleet, a couple of Helm commands, and we'll have that there. So we can fast forward a bit. So now we have the GitOps agent in our cluster. We can start using GitOps to provision clusters. And this is where, I guess, the mixture of cluster API and GitOps comes really interesting, because you then can create clusters via a pull request, which opens up all sorts of different types of scenarios. And it also means you can perform all of the operations against that cluster via pull requests. So you have the full history of the changes, you can roll back and all of those types of things that if you're using GitOps, you're used to with your applications, but you can now apply it to your actual clusters and the cluster lifecycle. So in the repo, you'll see two folders. Funnily enough, the one with the cluster definitions is in the clusters folder. It's just got the one cluster definition in there. So we're going to bring it up now to have a look at what it is. So it's just pure YAML. It describes the shape of your cluster. There's different resources to represent different parts of the cluster, whether that's the control plane or the worker machines.
And it matches the diagram that we showed before in the presentation. Basically, this YAML is what you saw in the diagram, but not visualized.
So two things to note here, just highlighting the fact that we are using the Proxmox, so you will have resource kinds dependent on your infrastructure provider here, and likewise for the other type of providers. So there's a couple of things we want to note there. So just highlighting some labels here, if you just remember that these labels say CNI Calico, and we'll come back to that in a bit. And then we just see some various other aspects. One thing to note, we're also using kubevip here. So in this type of environment, you need some sort of load balancer so that you can get to the API server. So we're just using kubevip as an easy way to do that, and it uses gratuitous ARP. So if the control plane machine that it's currently hosted on, you know, crashes, it will move across and it will start advertising the address from another control plane machine. So it's quite a nice setup. So we can fast forward there. So here you can just see the shape of the VMs that we want, the specifications. So this could be whatever you want. One thing to note is you'll see the template ID at the bottom, which says 100. So that will have to match the template that was created via the image builder process. If they don't, then things don't work. So we require a small amount of configuration for Fleet, and this will be the same for other GitOps agents. So in this file, we call it the Git repo, and this just tells Fleet about, hey, go to this source repo, download everything in there, and apply it to the cluster. So you'll just see that the repo URL, the branch that we require, so we're on the Proxmox branch, and then potentially any paths or secrets that are required to access that cluster. Cool, now we've done that. We've applied that to the cluster, so it's going to bring all those cluster definitions into our management cluster, and then hopefully we start to get virtual machines being started and a cluster will be formed. Maybe.
Cool.
Cool. So you can see now that automatically Cluster API has created machines here for you. So you'll see that there's one machine for the control plane and one machine for the machine deployment or the worker nodes. And you can see that the one has started to move to provisioning. What that basically means is it's going to provision the infrastructure and then start to bootstrap Kubernetes. So what does this mean from a Proxmox point of view? People with really good eyesight will probably see that there's a new VM starting up, so you can see it in the events at the bottom there, VM 104, and you'll see it on the side in the viewer. So this is being orchestrated by the cluster API provider, so it's talking directly to the Proxmox API and saying, hey, create me a VM, I'm going to use it for this control plane machine. Now, this part does take a while, so we're going to have to skip quite some way through. We'll just get it to the point where you bring up the console. So you can see it's using Ubuntu. And if we fast forward a little bit, eventually, you'll start to see essentially CloudInit will kick in. And depending on how you configure the Bootstrap providers, it will use either CloudInit or Ignition currently. This is using CloudInit, so you'll start to see CloudInit running, and that will essentially be running the commands to bootstrap Kubernetes on top of this VM using kubeadm in this instance. So, we missed it. You'll see it will come up. Yeah, so it does come up, and you can see that. So it's essentially what it's doing. So at that point, we have one control plane machine. Ready, essentially. Once one control plane machine is ready, you can then start to provision the worker machines. And it always waits until one control plane machine is ready, and then it will just start provisioning all of the worker machines in parallel. So we can fast forward that, and you'll see another VMs come up, And I think you get the point. So it just repeats the same things, but this will be for a worker machine. So what I just skipped ahead in the top part of the terminal window, I have just got the kubeconfig for that newly created cluster. So the kubeconfigs for the newly created child clusters or the tenant clusters are available in the management cluster. So you can get that out and then run and obviously do what you want with it. In this instance, I'm just showing that the, you know, stuff is running in there. So you can see that Calico is running in there. So we didn't put Calico necessarily in the cluster definition. But if we go back to those labels on our cluster definition that said CNI is Calico, that is using a feature of Cluster API called Cluster Resource Sets. And essentially, this enables you to install any type of resources into a newly provisioned cluster automatically. So it's really ideal for things like CNI or cloud providers that you want as soon as that cluster is being provisioned. And again, this is all done in a declarative way, so you don't have to do any special commands. You just put all of your definitions into Git, and then Cluster API will do all the orchestration. So this is what is in the second folder in the repo, in the CRS folder. You'll see that there's a cluster resource set, and you'll see that there's a label selector. So if your cluster matches that label selector, it will then apply all the resources listed below. And those resources are essentially just config maps or secrets, and they contain embedded Kubernetes YAML. So it will just squirt those into your cluster. So where are we now? So we've got one control plane and one worker machine. So I said that you could go into Git and you could scale the cluster and do all your operations. So what we're going to show here is actually if you go to the cluster definition in Git, we're going to scroll down until we get to the machine deployments where it will say replica one. And we're going to, hopefully, you see the machine deployment there, change that to two. Commit those changes to the Git repo. And you can probably guess what will happen now. A new VM is spun up. Kubernetes is bootstrapped on there, and that node joins the existing cluster. And you'll see eventually that it does come up. So that is the Proxmox demo.
So now we're going to show the same process with Kubert, and the idea is that you can use Cluster API to provision your clusters and multiple providers in the same operational way. So the process for different infrastructure providers is relatively very similar, with a difference in operating your infrastructure, I mean defining how your machine looks like. But the whole idea is the same no matter where you run your clusters.
So the one major difference with the Kubevert provider is it requires Kubevert to be installed in your cluster already. So before you install the provider for Kubevert, the CAPI provider, you must have Kubevert already installed. So what you're seeing here is we're installing MetaLB to take the place of providing the load balancers within this environment. Then we install Kubevert, and so Kubevert works on the basis of you describe your virtual machine as a custom resource, and then it will make that happen behind the scenes via QEMU. So this is what we're doing first, and this is before you get to any of the CAPI stuff. This is just setting up the Kubernetes cluster. So you can see the Kubevert is starting up. So we've now done the creating it, installing the provider. We're going to install the GitOps agent here now. So it's basically the same process, just slightly modified with different providers. and just with different prerequisites, the prerequisite being kubevert. So forward again. So in this second branch, you'll see a different cluster definition that uses kubevert, but essentially the way it's applied to the cluster is exactly the same via GitOps. So what key takeaway from this is it's the same operational procedure, irrespective of your target infrastructure or the flavor of Kubernetes that you want. You just create some YAML that describes the cluster that you want. So you'll see this is the interesting part. It will spin up a pod per VM, and that pod will then do the interaction with to actually provision the virtual machine on the host. So you'll see one of these spin up for each of the virtual machines that are required for the cluster. You can look at the boot logs via VNC as well. So if you use vertcuttle in this scenario, just get the name of the node and use vertcuttle, and you'll see it's using exactly the same kubeadm commands that we saw previously with the Proxmox. And then we do the same operation, we scale it, and you get the third machine. So again, probably the key takeaway from this is so key takeaways are Kappa can be used in many, many different infrastructure environments, not just like the cloud environments where a lot of people would naturally think of it. You know, so virtualized environments, bare metal type environments, and some really interesting type of environments where you want a control plane as a pod type scenario. It supports different Kubernetes flavors, so you might want just pure upstream with kubeadm. You might want something a bit more lightweight, so you can use K3S. So it allows you to mix and match all of these things. And lastly, this is fully declarative, fully GitOps friendly, perform all of your cluster operations via Git. So yeah, thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thanks.
Do we have any questions in the room?
My question is it realistic provision of all Kubernetes environments and
yeah, so the question was, can you realistically provision a cluster with all the associated infrastructure like load balancers, etc., with cluster API currently in a hyperscaler, so like AWS as an example? The answer is yes, definitely for AWS. I'd say the caveat is it will provision the infrastructure in an opinionated way. So it will only provision the infrastructure that's required for the cluster and nothing more. And it will provision it in a way that it thinks best. So you can slightly tweak it if you want. If you don't like, say you want to use ALBs instead of or something else, or you want to add security groups, it does allow you to do that as well. But there are, I guess, boundaries. So if you want full flexibility, you might need to do something else. But you can also use things like Terraform and Cluster API together. It doesn't have to be an either or, so you might provision like the VPC and the network with Terraform and then get Cluster API to do the Kubernetes and like the day two operations type of stuff on Kubernetes.